Here we go. The next presenters are very special people to me who I haven't seen in a year and a half. I worked with these two folks for 17 years, and I can attest on a personal level what wonderful and amazing people they are. They have devoted their lives to advocating for youth and families in east side of Detroit, southwest Detroit, and were founding board members of the Detroit Community Academic Urban Research Center, with which I was affiliated for many, many, many years. Angie Reyes is the Executive Director for Detroit Hispanic Development Corporation, and Zachary Rowe is the Executive Director for Friends of Parkside. And their presentation is Benefits, Challenges, and Lessons Learned from a Community-Based Participatory Research, a Community Perspective. Take it away.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I know.
And I'll give you an extra 5 minutes.
Oh, see, it's about relationships. Sometimes you can cheat. good afternoon. Zachary and I are going to talk from a purely community perspective about CBPR, community-based participatory research, and why would community organizations or community members want to get involved in this. So we're going to be talking about both the challenges and the benefits. We'll start with the benefits, though. We also have no relationships to disclose, none whatsoever, sadly. what we're going to be talking about today is that there's been a lot of research, a lot of writing about community-based participatory research and partnerships that involve communities and academics in these equal partnerships in writing publications and conducting the research, conceptualizing what the research is going to be. But there has been very little that has been written purely from a community perspective and a community voice. So that's what we're going to be presenting today, is purely from our perspective, what are some of the reasons why we would get involved. And we're going to be doing this from a personal, organizational, and community level, both benefits and challenges. Again, this is, for most of you probably are familiar with this, so the definition of CBPR is involving community members as equitable partners throughout the whole process. And I want to say that as members of the Detroit Academic Urban Research Center, that we are really true partners and sit at the table with our academic partners. We're not a separate community advisory group. We are members of the stakeholder of the steering committee, our board, so to speak. So we make decisions right along with the academics on things like not only what the research question is, but how is the budget going to be formed? Who's going to be hired to run the project? And all of those kind of things from beginning to the end. So we truly are partners in this. The Detroit Community Academic Urban Research Center is, as Robert mentioned, a long-standing community-based participatory research partnership in the city of Detroit. We've been together now for almost 19 years. Jeez, I know. My standing joke is that it's the longest relationship that I have in my life, that it has outlasted both of my marriages at this point. Obviously, one of the benefits is that we really like each other. Otherwise, we wouldn't have stuck around that long. And the overall goal, we started in 1995 with core funding from CDC, and then we subsequently had funding from several foundations, like the Kellogg Foundation, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. We've had some from local foundation, the Skillman Foundation, focused on youth, also from the University of Michigan, and from the National Institute of Minority Health and Health Disparities. The URC has worked in several different communities throughout Detroit that have differences based on ethnicity, socioeconomic status, but predominantly Detroit is predominantly African American, so obviously work in the African American community and also in the Latino community in Detroit. And the goal of the URC is to examine and address the social and physical environmental determinants of health aimed at promoting health equity and translating that knowledge into public health interventions, programs, and policies that recognize and build upon and enhance community resources and strength. So it's very much from a strength perspective, not a disease perspective. These are some of the partners in the Detroit URC. There are 8 community-based organizations from the different neighborhoods in the city. There is the local health department, as well as an integrated health system, and several of the units that are part of the University of Michigan. This is kind of our conceptual model of how the Detroit URC is structured. So we have the umbrella, which is the URC board. And then we have several affiliated partnerships. We've had up to 10 different affiliated partnerships over the years. The 3 primary ones right now, the Healthy Environments Partnership, REACH, and the Community Action Against Asthma. Each one of the partnerships has its own steering committee consisting of both academic and community partners. These partnerships, the affiliate partnerships have been together. HEP's been around since 2000, promoting cardiovascular disease, REACH since 1998, working on diabetes, and CAAA since 1998 as well, looking at air quality and childhood asthma. So before there were benefits of working with universities, a lot of the folks in the community have struggled with how do we establish equitable partnerships with the university that are going to benefit our community. There's been a long history of distrust with universities and researchers in general and community for a number of different historical reasons, because a lot of the research typically did not benefit the community at the very best, and at the worst actually caused harm to the community, sometimes very much unintentionally, but nevertheless were harmful. Folks from the U of M first came to us in 1998 and said that they wanted to establish this ongoing partnership with CBPR, doing CBPR, which we had no clue what it was, or even whether or not we were doing public health. That was a whole other thing that we weren't quite sure of. And then they wouldn't go away. We decided that we better come to the table because our role in the community was really to be gatekeepers. If the University of Michigan was going to be in our community, then we better make sure they're not messing things up and causing more harm. And we frequently refer to some of the research that had been done as drive-by research. Came, did the research, went away, and then came back again. So again, and sometimes causing harm. So our role again was to be the gatekeepers, to make sure that drive-by research wasn't happening. So we really had to work on building trust with the folks from the university, and we really wanted to make sure that they were going to do what they said they were going to do. And they stuck around. They put up with all of our challenges and pushing back, and they did do what they said they were going to do. So we were able to build these relationships of trust over these years that has really enabled us to build the deep partnerships that we've had. So again, looking at what were the benefits to those of us from the community that chose to stick around with our partners, at an individual level, which are for those of us who are the individual members of the steering committees and the partnerships, at an organizational level, how can it benefit our CBO going back to it? Because we have to justify to our boards of directors and sometimes to our staff and community, how is this going to benefit, and then the community itself. So what were some of the benefits? So at an individual level, we're able to do this. We're able to go to national meetings and sit at committees, national committees. Traveling has been a really awesome opportunity. I've been able to go not only all over the United States. I've gone with Dr. Amy Schultz to Colombia twice. We've gone and to Canada and to Puerto Rico with Dr. Parker. So I get to go to all kinds of wonderful places. Sitting on national committees where we're able to give input on developing national guidelines and conducting CBPR and also reviewing grants. Our own professional development, which is not just getting trained in these areas around doing research, but in my particular case, I was told that the work that I was doing in youth prevention, gang prevention, substance abuse prevention, HIV prevention was public health. So lo and behold, I didn't know I was doing public health. Got recruited to go to the University of Michigan and got my MPH, which I never would have done had it not been for the relationship that I had with the folks that were from the University of Michigan. And as I mentioned, long-standing friendships. We've been together through births and deaths and marriages and divorces and all kinds of things. So Robert probably knows a whole lot of our secrets, so don't ask him. The organizational benefits have been significant as well, too, not just because of the relationship with the university, but also with the relationship that we've had with each other in the different communities and organizations across the city. We tend to work in silos in our communities and be really isolated, especially when you're doing that day-to-day stuff. But through the work through the URC, we have the longest standing, really significant, meaningful partnership between the African American and Latino communities in the city of Detroit. That's pretty significant. Working across the black and brown issues is very, very not only wonderful, but necessary for our survival. So this has been, we've actually been able to use that as a model for other partnerships across the city and looking at how we've done this together for years, learning about each other, learning to appreciate each other's challenges and supporting each other with problem solving. Resources that have been able to come to the organization, one person kept talking about people coming to do pamphlets. We're going to do a pamphlet for you. Sometimes you need pamphlets to be done by students. So marketing materials, evaluations, getting software sometimes, having people who can help you write a grant or give you some of the research for the grant, and then developing your own capacity to do research from your own organization. And then community benefits that address residents' needs that are identified by the residents themselves, being able to take some of the research to do policy recommendations that increase your credibility when you go to policymakers, when you actually have the science backing you up. We've made sure that we've had people from the community who have been hired and trained to do some of the jobs. They collect the data, do some of the surveys. And I'm going to turn over to Zach.
Hi. So I get the honor of talking about the challenges, and I'm going to try to stay within the time limits, and I got 5 minutes to get through all of this. Okay, good luck. No. So Angie just talked about the benefits, and so we're going to talk about some of the selected challenges of doing CBPR on an individual, organizational, and community level. Okay. Individual challenges. Time. The time involved with doing CBPR is a lot. If anyone who ever done CBPR, you really do not want to do it, trust me, because it's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of time. I think Robin and Angie talked about the URC being around for 17, 18, 19 years. It took a lot of time. And using data. Now, Angie talked about personal development in terms of being able to go to the University of Michigan, get her MPH and all of that. I'm from the neighborhood, right? And I struggle with using the data because with research, there's a large amount of data coming across my desk. I'm an executive director from a grassroots organization, right? So I had to begin to understand how to make sense of the data, okay? So I had to begin to understand sort of staggered approaches, and I mean just stuff that was foreign to me. Alrighty, multiple roles. I already had a job, but being involved in research. So being involved in research, I sort of assume additional roles as being a steering committee partner, also being involved in collecting the data, analyzing the data, and so I assume additional roles. In addition to being an executive director, janitor, bookkeeper, and those kinds of things, all righty. Organizational challenges. Sometimes the research does not necessarily fit in with the core mission of the organization. Okay, again, I'm from a grassroots organization in public housing, right? And so some of our research work that we were doing with the university or the university partnership we're doing with us or we were doing together had to do with air quality. Now, excuse me, I'm not a scientist, right? But the air is everywhere. And so what are we going to do about air quality, right? And so when you look at our mission statement, nowhere in our mission statement does it say air quality, okay? And my board had to remind me of that before But that's sort of that disconnect between sort of the research and the core mission of the organization. Okay. But luckily though, when we began to sort of look at air quality, we was able to sort of pare it down whereby it made sense to us. Looking at childhood asthma, looking at air quality within homes. Aha. I can sell that to my board. Right? And I can make it so that folks from the community understand that this is not a stretch for our mission. That, you know, looking at, okay, I'm sorry, I got to move on. I guess that 1 minute. Research and action, sustained intervention. One of the things that we found that even though our research projects are effective, just having the funds to sustain it is challenging, and that was one of the things that came up before. Low and no indirect costs. Unfortunately, foundations doesn't provide a lot of indirect costs for CBOs, and that's also a challenge for us. Ready? Community challenges. These are challenges to the community. Research, language, and protocol. The community does not care about anything like that. They don't care. They don't care. And if you don't realize that by now, then I'm here to tell you they don't care. Okay. Research readiness. And this came up before from one of our other presentations. So the community has to be ready for the research. They have to be open to that project. No matter how good I am or how persuasive I am in trying to convince the community that they want to get involved, they have to be ready. All right, and their readiness is based on, you know, whether or not it connects with what's important to them. Right. I think Angela said earlier that, you know, from a community group, we can sort of promise, hey, we have 700 residents in Parkside, and we have no trouble getting you to 50. Yeah, right. If they're not ready to be involved, then I'm going to have trouble getting 10, okay? Also, trust. I mean, the community has to show the trust that the research project is going to benefit them. These are our recommendations for our academic research partners. And some of these things were already said, so I'm going to sort of skip through some of them. Trust. In terms of having a good partnership, you have to have trust. You have to be flexible. You have to laugh sometimes. You have a sense of humor. It has to be patient because CBVR takes a long time. You have to have good PIs and project managers. The PI is important because the PI can sort of navigate the university bureaucracy for you. Okay, and the project manager can keep us all on task. Equal accountability. We have to hold everybody accountable. And also you have to spend time in the community. You have to do that. Okay, now if you're a junior faculty member, you have to find a good mentor. Okay, somebody who's going to help you, who's going to introduce you to your partner, help you introduce you to those community folks, okay? You have to find a community that's interested in what you're interested in. I don't have to go into details about that. Also, you have to realize that the community has knowledge and skills and expertise, okay? And also, you have to bring some dollars with you. That always helps. Okay, you have to bring money with you in order for the CBO to be involved. Okay, all right. In conclusion, I just want to sort of say thank you, and I'm going to turn it back over to Robert.
Thank you.